Chapter 38. The bolt spins sideways off Mace's blade, and with a heavy thump of boots, Cody drops from his perch on top of a command box, landing and straightening in one smooth motion. His expression is quiet, eyes narrowed, and in a familiar jerk he brings his blaster up, leveled right at Mace. Taking in a breath, Mace stares into eyes gone suddenly cold, feeling something like ice settle in his stomach. He reaches for Cody's thoughts, and they feel strange, sideways, twisted out of order in a way Mace isn't familiar with, like a whirlpool caused by a boulder sunk beneath the surface in a quiet river. They pull hard in one direction, and everything rings with a hollow echo that beats like a pulse. "Traitor," Cody says, soft, flat. Mace lowers his blade, like facing Depa on Harun Kal. He knows himself, knows what he'll allow himself to do. Hurting Cody will never be counted among those things, regardless of the circumstances.
"Cody," Mace says quietly, "you are being controlled."
Cody's fingers tighten on the blaster.
"No," he says. "I finally woke up. You're trying to kill the Chancellor. You're a traitor."
His thoughts catch on that one word, stick. The boulder, Mace thinks. Everything eddies around that word.
"The Chancellor is a Sith Lord," he counters and takes a step back. "Our duty to the Republic requires his arrest and removal."
Palpatine laughs, ringing, dark.
"Commander Cody, was it?"
he asks, and Cody gives a short, sharp nod.
"Well, Master Windu, I'm sure Master Kenobi will be most displeased if you kill his commander. Are you going to execute him in cold blood, simply for attempting to stop your treachery?"
"Order 66, Mace thinks, and has to breathe through his flare of anger. That was what triggered this, some sort of encoded command. But Cody's thoughts are hard to touch, like they've become something foreign. The bond is still there, but distant, achingly, terribly distant.
"You can't make me take an innocent life," he says, and turns, putting his back to Cody to face Palpatine instead.
Here's Cody's indrawn breath, the flare. The blaster bolt hits the floor beside him, and Mace lowers his hand.
"But you plan to take mine," Palpatine says, silky amusement and faux distress. "I've done nothing but strengthen this Republic and see to its troubles."
He raises a hand, and Mace brings his lightsaber up to catch the lightning that crackles from his fingertips, meets Palpatine's eyes across the floor, and breathes out. He's angry. He admired Palpatine at one point, for all he did to preserve the Republic and lead it through the war. But this anger shouldn't be personal. And yet, a step loud on the stone and another blaster bolt slams into the floor beside him. Mace sets his teeth, but even that one small bit of distraction drives him back a step. The pressure of Palpatine's lightning hissing across his blade, too much to hold. He reaches for Cody's mind again, gritting his teeth and grasps for his thoughts. If he can put him to sleep, an invisible force slams into his chest, lifting him right off his feet and sending him rolling across the ground. Quick, desperate, Mace twists to his feet, rises to block another shot. Palpatine lowers his hand, and right in front of him, Cody comes to a stop, braced and ready, blaster raised. Mace won't hurt him to get to Palpatine. He can't, or he isn't a Jedi. Executing the Supreme Chancellor for being a Sith Lord in front of another Jedi and a whole squad of clones is one thing. Towing the edge of the law. Going through Cody to do so? Mace would never forgive himself.
"Beware, Commander," Palpatine says. And that's a snake's sly smile, vicious and pleased. "He seeks to control your thoughts. He wants to manipulate you."
"Yes, sir," Cody answers, and his expression is flat, calculating as he advances. "Mace, surrender. There's no coming back from betraying the Republic. If you've fallen this far..."
Mace lets his emotions settle, watches Cody's expression for a long moment, steady, and feels out the edges of his thoughts, the twist of the bond as it frays between them. Still solid, still steady, but that strange pressure is overwhelming it, driving it down into darkness. But Mace knows darkness, and he rises through it, leveling his lightsaber across his body as Cody approaches. "Cody," he says, not trying for a command, just a reminder. "There's something in your head that isn't you. Do you feel it?" "All I feel is betrayed," Cody says, and takes another shot. Mace redirects it with a flick of his blade. It makes Cody's mouth thin, and he stalks closer. Always, always, Cody's been the closest Mace has seen to how Django moved, how he fought. But Mace sees it now more clearly than ever. Shadows of Django in every step, in the carelessly confident way Cody aims and fires and twists to the side, sidestepping the reflected bolt and firing again in the same motion. Mace lets that one rebound towards Palpatine, hears Cody's hiss of frustration, and raises a hand, concentrating for just one instant. Cody's blaster jerks, twists, crumbles in on itself.
"I won't fight you, Cody," Mace says, and lets himself step forward. "This isn't right. Step aside."
Lets images rise in his mind of the tunnels below, of Cody's hand in his, feeds them into the bond like he's trying to overwhelm that strange, cold blankness, and just for a moment he thinks he sees Cody hesitate, thinks he catches a change in expression, a twist of confusion. The strange pull eases and the river flows. And then, like a pulse of electricity, it vanishes. Cody lunges low and fast and flings his ruined blaster right at Mace's head. Mace jerks back a step, batting it away, and then sidesteps Cody's punch, ducks a second, grabs the foot that lashes out at his stomach and heaves. Cody hits the ground, then sweeps out a foot. Mace leaps it, twists in midair to land on his feet, doesn't hesitate. He swings for Palpatine, Vapod's blurring quick strike leaving a streak of violet through the air. A red blade stops it, and Palpatine hisses out a laugh.
"The darkness in you is great," he says,
and the feeling of mental fingers digging into his skin makes Mace grit his teeth.
"You would make a fearsome apprentice, Master Windu. I have always thought so."
Mace snorts, unimpressed, feels the change in the air half an instant before something sweeps towards his head. Automatic, he spins the lightsaber coming up to block, and the blade of a sword passes right through it, and with a hissing crackle, the lightsaber shorts out. A powerful kick slams into Mace's chest, and he's thrown back, hits the floor, and twists to his feet, just in time to duck the sweeping slash of the warblade as it passes over his head. Cody steps in, spins, thrusts, and Mace falls back, clipping the useless hilt of his lightsaber to his belt again, and leaping away, landing harder than he intends, and staggering as darkness washes the room. It's hard to breathe beneath the weight of it, hard to stand, and Mace wants to look towards Anakin and his fight but can't risk it, not when Cody is advancing, warblade raised.
"Splendid," Palpatine says, pleased. "Jedgar was correct, it seems."
"Anakin will resist," Mace says, and knows it's true.
Whether or not he'll be successful, he'll try, and that's enough for now. Palpatine hums, lazily thoughtful.
"Yes," he allows, "but with your death, Master Windu, he will be alone on Drummond Kos, with no one to save him, and the dark side here is overwhelming. Commander, execute the traitor."
"Yes, sir," Cody answers, grim, and twists the blade around his head, then raises it. "Sorry, Mace," he says flatly, "but you're a traitor, and I won't let you harm the Chancellor or the Republic."
"This is our divorce, then?" Mace asks dryly, retreating.
He watches Cody follow him, then turns his steps until they're moving parallel to Palpatine.
"And to think, we survived so many other problems."
Cody hesitates, and just for an instant, Mace can feel something bloom across the bond. One flickering moment of confusion.
I, he starts, and then stops short, frowning. Mace stops too, watching him, feels a flicker of hope rising sharply, and lets it bleed between them in a slow, bright wash. Through the darkness, he says quietly, and back into the light. Cody remembers. Mace can see the half-second flicker of the memory, the wash of emotion tangled up in it, relief and victory and an edge of new wonder. Feels the hesitation, the confusion rising again, the tumble of certainty that buries it, cold and deep and dark. "You're a traitor," Cody says. "It doesn't mean anything." Palpatine is watching, amused, like this is some great spectator sport. Mace ignores him, focuses on Cody, on the burn of the warblade in his mind, one forged piece of darkness amidst all the others. It's eager, angry, but that twist of intent makes him pause, makes him think. "Then why aren't you angry with me?" he asks, deliberate. And Cody frowns, doesn't quite hesitate, but it's enough to make Mace step forward instead of retreating. "Cody, if I were a traitor, you would be furious with me. Where's your anger? Can't you reach it?" With a growl, Cody lunges, and Mace leaps back from the slash of the warblade, just a little faster than he expects. It slices across his tunics, just missing skin, and Cody twists, bringing the blade around, lashes out. It skims past Mace's ear, opening a line down his collarbone, and he grimaces but doesn't otherwise react, falling back a pace and dodging an elbow thrown towards his nose. The blade pulses, burns, and makes Mace's senses swim, that one brush against his skin, and he has to breathe carefully, push through it, push past the pain as well, and reach. He can see Cody's shatter point, can see where the weakness of his body lies, just like with Django. Harder to hit without a lightsaber, but Mace isn't solely reliant on his blade. If he moved a little faster, if he turned when Cody lunged and struck just right, Mace's stomach turns and he steps back, looks at the warblade, settled right into Cody's being with threads of darkness, and can't see a shatter point to it. Only Cody, only its wielder. And Mace isn't about to let himself break Cody like he did Django. Palpatine has a shatter point. He's quick, Mace has seen that, but Vapod is unpredictable, erratic. It moves with the force and not with the mind, and there's little chance of Palpatine predicting his blows. But to face him, Mace first has to get past Cody, get past him without harming him, without failing, without letting Palpatine take advantage. He curls his hands into fists. Fighting is simple, straightforward. Mace has always enjoyed it just a little too much. But this is something entirely different. "Cody," he says quietly, and when brown eyes narrow at him, he lets himself think of the moment, bare minutes ago, pressed up against the wall, the way Cody's mouth felt on his. And more than that, the overwhelming, unsettling feeling that it might be their last kiss, well before they ever got to a place where they could explore what they both wanted so very much. The bond is buried in darkness, in emptiness. Mace lets the feelings flow down it regardless, because emotion isn't a weakness. Emotion moves the Jedi, makes them part of the galaxy. Uncontrolled emotion is the only flaw, and this Mace controls. This he understands, because he knows what he feels. Cody's breath shakes and he grits his teeth, shakes his head. "No," he says, desperate. "You're a traitor." "Yes," Palpatine says, gleeful. "A traitor to the Republic, to the Chancellor. Execute him, Commander. That is an order." Cody's expression twists, settles. He raises the sword. "Yes, sir," he says grimly, and lunges. It's quick, faster than it should be, more unhesitating. Cody ducks down, drives up with the blade leading, and Mace has to wrench to the side to avoid getting gutted. Sees the opening, the break, but deliberately avoids it. Swings a punch for Cody's head instead. Cody dodges, one step ahead and already anticipating, and sweeps the blade out in a wide swing. Mace leaps it, flips, lands lightly, and immediately turns, raising a hand. Harder to catch lightning in his palm than on a saber, and it hurts more, stinging like biting wasps burrowing into his skin. Mace grits his teeth, and Palpatine laughs, closing his fingers to cut off the flow. Into the gap, Cody rises, swinging, and Mace can't pull back in time. He takes the slash across the chest, doesn't let himself hiss at the sharp knock of pain, and steps in, a foot between Cody's fouls his advance, and Mace grabs his sword arm, ducks, pulls. Cody hits the ground on his back, then promptly kicks Mace's feet out from under him, drags him down, and rolls, slamming him into the floor. Mace's breath leaves him in a painful rush, but he throws up a hand, grabs for one of the ugly busts by the door, even as Cody's arm falls across his throat like a bar, and sends it hurtling straight at Palpatine. Palpatine sees it, turns, the bust goes spinning away to slam into the wall, but at the same moment, Mace uses the distraction, grabs Cody's head between his hands. The guilt threads of their bond are still there, even through whatever Palpatine is doing to mute the connection, and he grabs for them, grabs for Cody, just as the warblade stabs down. There's something in Cody's head. Mace can feel it, the stone that causes the whirlpool, the flaw in the glass of his mind. He shuts it out, drags Cody's thoughts away from it for one brief instant, and feels recognition flare fire hot across the bond, just as the warblade sinks deep into his shoulder and then scrapes stone. Mace muffles a cry behind gritted teeth, doesn't block the pain that explodes across his nerves, channels it instead like a lance driven right at the sight of the distortion, and lets it flare across Cody's mind, a shield of fire. Cody cries out, hunches forward, and the shift of the blade in his shoulder makes Mace gasp. But when Cody raises his head, he's back. "Mace?" he whispers, horrified. But there isn't time. Mace shoves every ounce of emotion down their bond. The fear, the care, the relief, the need to kiss him breathless and prove he's safe and in control of himself. And the cold tide returns, sweeping over them, and Mace fights through it. Drags Cody down, hands in his hair, minds connected, and feels his desperate, gasping sound half an instant before his thoughts spin back towards blank obedience. This time, Mace is in his head. He stops it, dams the tide, and spins sleep around Cody's mind like a cocoon. With a groan, Cody slumps into his arms, shuddering, and goes still. Mace's vision swims, darkens. He digs his fingers into Cody's hair, just trying to breathe, and attempts to hold back the black spots blooming behind his eyelids. Aches all over, like all his strength is seeping out of him, but there's a step, loud, deliberate. Mace rolls Cody off of him, as careful as he can, and then reaches up, curling his hand around the hilt of the warblade. With a sharp cry, he wrenches it loose, then gets his feet under himself, rises, staggers, steadies. Raising the blade between them, he meets Palpatine's hungry gaze, ignores the blood running freely down his chest, and says, "That's all? Really?" Palpatine's mouth thins, then splits in a smile, and that red blade hums to life. "Hardly," he says, arrogant, easy. "Prepare yourself, Master Windu. This won't take long." For the first time in as long as he can remember, Tup wakes up without having nightmares. It's startling. He opens his eyes without dread weighing at every limb, takes a breath that doesn't shake with fear. Always, always waking has been a terrifying, torturous thing. Almost as much as sleeping, but not this time. Not now. There's a warning humming in the back of his head, like something that he's forgotten, which he needs to remember. But there's also something warm buried in Tup's chest, a seed about to sprout. And he knows, before he even turns his head, who's going to be there with him. "Vector," he says, and knows he's right. There's a breath, relieved, shaky, and Vector leans over him, pressing a hand lightly against Tup's shoulder before he can start to push up. "Hey, Tup," he says, just a little wry. "You know, when I told you to give our squad a good name, I didn't mean you had to become a carking jetty." Tup ducks his head, but he's grinning too. "You didn't tell me not to," he counters, feeling light right down to his bones. He glances around the room, finds Chance by the door and Kay seated beside the bed, and carefully eases up on one elbow. "What are you doing here? Where's Master Kolar?" Kay grimaces. "Out with General Billaba," he says, apparently. "She turned up about 20 minutes ago, and we got pulled right out of training by LS. He said General Kolar calmed him, wanted us to keep an eye on you." "The surgery was successful," Azzi-3 offers, buzzing closer. It leans in, checking Tup over, and then tips its head. "General T is out of range, but I will contact her with your results. Congratulations, Commander Tup. Your chip has been successfully removed." "I can tell," Tup says quietly, and sits up the rest of the way, putting a hand to his head. His hair is a short prickle across his scalp, unfamiliar and unsettling, but he twists the Padawan braid around his fingers and rubs at the silka beads there, taking comfort in the fact that he still has this. He knew they were going to have to cut his hair, and it hurts, but less now with the Padawan braid than it might have when he looked like every other clone. Azzi-3 buzzes softly. "Your chip was degrading," it tells him. "It was defective, which would account for your symptoms. With its removal, you should have no further problems." Symptoms? Like dreams of killing Jedi were just side effects? Like a lingering cough or allergies? Tup shivers, curling his arms around himself, and says quietly, "Thank you, Azzi-3. I am happy to assist," the droid says kindly. "Should you need anything further, simply calm me, Commander." "All right," Tup agrees, though he has no plans to do anything of the sort. He watches the droid leave, hears the main door seal, and then takes a breath, carefully sliding out of bed. "Really think that's a good idea, Commander?" Chance asks, but he sounds more concerned than anything. Tup swallows. He thinks of Master Kolar's words about warnings translating to instinct. Master Shock's quiet. "They are a warning, Tup, not an inevitability. The Force shares them so we can know what we must work to avoid." He didn't have nightmares, but he dreamed. "Something's coming," he says, and knows he's right. "It's been coming since the Rishi Station fell, and now it's almost here. I have to tell the Jedi and alert the security forces." Vector pauses, always serious expression twisting. He glances from Tup to Kay to Chance, and then pushes to his feet as well. "Warn the generals," he says grimly. "We'll find LS and warn him, and he can activate security. If we tell him one of the Jedi told us to, he won't even question it." The fact that it won't be a lie is bewildering still. Tup nods firmly, taking a breath, and says, "Good luck." "You too." Vector offers him a hand, and Tup clasps it for a moment, then starts stripping out of his medical scrubs as his former squadmates leave. Master Kolar, who's shorter and slimmer than a full-grown clone, left him robes, and Tup fumbles a little with the unfamiliar layers, struggles with the sashes, and finally gets them sorted. He doesn't feel like a cadet right now. Still a clone, but a Jedi too, he thinks, and spares one glance for himself in the mirror on the wall. He looks like a Jedi, and that's somehow more startling than the other part of this, seeing a clone's face above the familiar brown robes. It's not jarring, though. It fits. Maybe Tup feels like a Jedi. He's not sure, because this is just how he's always felt. But lighter now. Better. When he steps out of Shock's quarters, the halls are strangely deserted, hushed. Tup hesitates there, looking first one way and then the other, before a touch of instinct has him turning right, towards Nala Se's office. The Force, he thinks, and wants to grin, wants to spend a moment feeling breathless and wondering, because it's been terrifying for so long, but now it's not. This dream wasn't a dead general, betrayal, good soldiers follow orders. Those are gone, and Tup can breathe. This is a warning, and it's heavy, but it's something he can change. It's a good thing. He's out of breath by the time he makes it to the corridors by Nala Se's office, practically skidding around the corner, and he sidesteps automatically. There's a yelp, a thud, and the clone he almost collided with, a pilot with command stripes, pulls back so sharply he almost falls over. Commander, the pilot says, alarmed. He breaks off, staring, and then stops, closing his eyes for one long beat. Criff, he mutters. No offense, Commander, but that's weird. A brother as a Jedi. Hells. Tup flushes faintly, but says, Sorry, Commander. Is Master Kolar? Further up the hall, in one of the labs, something breaks, and there's a cry. I'll give you one guess, the Commander says dryly. Tup swallows a wholly inappropriate sound of amusement, ducking past the pilot and heading for the room at a run. The door is standing open, and when he pauses there, his eyes widen sharply. It's Nala Se's favorite lab, with three of her most highly ranked scientists being held at blaster point by armed troopers in flight armor. Nala Se herself is up against the wall, looking furious, with Master Kolar's blue lightsaber barely a centimeter from her throat. Behind him, Master Galia has her arms folded over her chest, expression severe, with Lama Su looking distressed beside her. Can't interfere with the workings of an independent laboratory. Prime Minister, Master Galia cuts in, we have proof that the scientists here knowingly worked with the separatists, and given both your contract with the Republic and your recent admittance into it, I assume you realize that I have full authority to seize this whole facility. Her eyes narrow, and she studies Nala Se for a long moment. As well as charge any conspirators with treason against the Republic. Tup says and raises a hand. When Galia turns to look at him, he winces, but says, Master, there's a problem. Galia doesn't so much as flinch. Of course, she says, bland. Well, Padawan? Something's coming, Tup blurts. An attack, soon. I think it's Grievous, Master. Violet eyes widen, then narrow, and Galia draws herself up straight. Interesting, she says. Obi-Wan and Aayla lost sight of him, didn't they? We should have known he'd crawl into view here. From behind Tup, there's a sharply indrawn breath. Sir, the pilot commander says, should I get the men back in the air? If there are cruisers coming. Galia grimaces. We'll be outgunned, she says. Swipe, keep your squad with Master Kolar and take the scientists into custody. Agen? Master Kolar's eyes are dark and steady and cold. Go, he says, not looking away from Nala Se. I'll catch up. Prime Minister, you are about to lose your facility and your main source of income if you do not cooperate. Again, Galia says, faintly chiding, but she immediately turns on her heel and stalks towards the door. Oddball, see if there are any new graduates who haven't shipped out yet and get them armed. Trickshot, see to the air defenses. I don't want our men sacrificing themselves needlessly up there. Bail, coordinate with the facility's security force. Padawan, with me. There's a chorus of agreement, but Tup doesn't pause. He hurries after Galia. She's shorter, but he still has to rush to keep up with her strides. As soon as he falls into step, though, she glances over at him and asks, A dream? Tup nods quickly. They were attacking underwater, he says. I'm sure of it. Galia breathes out, grimaces, brings her calm up, activates it, and says, Oddball, activate whatever scuba troopers are available and get them stationed beneath the facility. We're expecting an attack from that direction, so hurry. Egan, once you're done here, get to the genetic records hall as well. If they're trying to cripple the facility, that will be their first target. Galia didn't even hesitate to believe him. Tup swallows, and as she lowers her comm, he says, Thank you, Master Galia. Her mouth curves in a wry smile, lightening her features for just a moment. We're Jedi, Tup, she says. Our dreams are always to be heeded, even if we try not to obsess over them. I would rather activate all security forces for a false alarm than ignore you and have Grievous take us by surprise. Will it be enough? Tup asks worriedly. If Grievous has cruisers, it will be enough for us to hold out, Galia says determinedly, and lifts her comm again. Eeth, are you there? How's the fighting where you are? There's a long moment, then a crackle of static cut through with the sound of blaster fire. Dying down, Master Koth says. Is something wrong, Audi? Apparently, we've found Grievous, Galia says dryly. Shock's new Padawan caught wind of him. He's going to attack the cloning facilities on Kamino very shortly. Tense silence is all that comes for a handful of heartbeats, and then Master Koth takes a breath. I'll see what I can do, he promises. Kit may be closer and more able to leave. Kit only has a handful of forces with him. Galia looks grim. I'll take whatever and whoever you can send, though. I only have one wing of starfighters with me, and Agon doesn't have a battalion of his own. Koth's exhale is heavy. We'll be there, Adi, he says firmly, and cuts the connection. Galia glances back at Tup, and her smile is crooked. Well, she says, welcome to the Order, Padawan. Let's find you a blaster at the very least. Thank you, Master, Tup says, smiling back faintly, pauses, and asks, Do you know anything about how Master Shock is doing? Galia pauses, looking down the hallway, and for a long moment she doesn't answer. She's putting herself right in the middle of trouble, I have no doubt, she says. But have faith, she's equally good at getting out of it. Tup swallows. That's not precisely reassuring, but compared to what they have bearing down on them, he'll take it.